I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Well, if there's one topic that's currently on a lot of people's minds this summer, it's got to be skyrocketing gasoline prices. A new documentary film addresses the issues of gas consumption and alternative fuel. Our guests today, both based in Los Angeles, teamed together to create the film Gas Hole. Please welcome Gas Hole director Jeremy Wagner and producer Scott Roberts. Gentlemen, welcome to St. Louis.
Thanks.
Hi,
thanks
thank
for
you
us.
For having us.
And I have a feeling that some of our listeners may have some thoughts about the issues that your film addresses, so I'd like to throw our phone number out there right at the top in case they do, and that's 382-8255, 382-TALK. It is a timely topic. It is something that people are thinking about a lot, and you timed that pretty well. Was that by accident?
It was completely by accident. We'd like to say it wasn't, but it was an accident. When we started the film over 2.5 years ago, gas prices in California were about $2.20, and people were just outraged. And now, you know, 2.5 years later, they've doubled.
What are they in L.A. now? Here, they're almost $4.
In L.A., when we left about 3 weeks ago, the gas station by my house was about $4.69.
No kidding. $4.69.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We've got a lot higher taxes in California as well.
This is the 17th stop on your nationwide tour. You're doing 40 something altogether, I think, right?
Yeah, 43. I think is what's on the schedule now.
I'm just guessing you've had a pretty good response.
We've had a great response to this film. What we're doing is in this tour, at the end of each screening, we have Scott and I stick around for a question and answer, and. Because the film really raises a lot of questions. There's a lot of information I think people aren't aware of, and it's stuff that is shocking to a lot of people. And so they're really fired up to talk about the film. And what's really important to us as well is to try and talk about what solutions are available to you locally, how you can get involved and try and do something. So, for instance, in St. Louis, what we've done is we've teamed up with two organizations, the St. Louis Green and the St. Louis Clean Cities Coalition.
That's stlouisgreen.com.
stlouisgreen.com.
Your resource for everything green, I think is how they put it, isn't it? Something like that. And the voice you're hearing is the film's director, Jeremy Wagner. The other is the producer, Scott Roberts. Well, let's talk about this. How did we, and when I say we, I mean this country, become so dependent on imported oil? What's your view on that?
Well, what happened was, you know, oil was very cheap, and we really started using it for everything, and it was a great boon to America. Where we've gotten is really because of oil, because of cheap oil. The problem is that we hit our production peak in the United States in 1970. Every year we've been producing less and less oil in the United States since then. And so then these companies that used to be American companies started becoming global companies and bringing in oil from other countries. And as our production in the United States has gone down and our imports have gone up and our demand has just skyrocketed, it's just a very simple math formula that the dependence is, it's astronomical now. It's really crippling the country.
Right. You know, and Scott, we keep hearing how much higher prices are in other parts of the world. I don't know. It doesn't seem to make us feel any better, though.
No, it doesn't ease the pain at all, does it?
No.
You know, but, you know, in other countries in Europe, yes, they've had higher gas prices. And I think that that's kind of forced them years ago to take a look at more fuel economical cars. And so, you know, interestingly enough, the same companies that are making our cars here are making their cars there. They just get a lot better fuel economy.
Well, I read an article, I think it was within the last day or two, where someone was, I can't remember who it was, someone was predicting that the SUV is dead. They said, stick a fork in it, is what I read.
Well, that's actually a very difficult thing for us right now. We were in Wisconsin, and they're closed. GM's closing a plant there, Janesville, that's been open since like 1910. And that plant's closing, and it used to run. They were producing SUVs and big trucks, and now people are losing jobs. Now, you have to then question whether or not that company is why they don't reinvest and produce change over that plant to make better fuel-efficient vehicles rather than closing it. It seems like obviously there's a desire for that, but rather than doing that, they're just going to close the plant.
Your film Gas Hole is going to premiere tonight and play numerous times through Sunday at the High Point Theater, and it's sort of interesting. It's right by the big Amoco sign that's really a landmark, so I guess that's coincidence, but it fits, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. We're actually, they've renovated the High Point Theater, so we're the first film that's going to be opening up there. And you know, for us, you know, being longtime filmmakers, we love these old theaters. So it's exciting for us, but I think it's really fortuitous that big Amoco sign is there.
382-8255, 382-TALK, if you have a question or a comment. You say that you stick around after every filming for question and answers. What kind of questions are you getting or comments?
Well, you know, like Jeremy said, we cover so many topics in the film, yet there are a lot of things, too, that we don't cover. And so a lot of people ask us, you know, what can they do? And because of some of the data and information that we found in our investigation regarding some of the oil companies, a lot of people ask if we're concerned for our safety.
Well, yeah. Is it a plot? That's my question.
Well, we don't shy away from the conspiracy theory ideas in the film, but we try those stories, and we present three stories that sort of have those ideas mm-hmm. in them, and we presented the ones. We've heard a lot of these stories. We've heard a lot of stories about buried technology, and so what we did is we found a couple of stories that we could document and we could substantiate and just presented them as with as much information to support those stories as possible. And then from there, we took the film and we went to Congress to see what was going on in Congress and why we haven't increased our fuel efficiency standards for 30 years. We just recently did, but it was really not very much. And then we looked at the history of Standard Oil and the rise of the industry and then what happened when Standard Oil was broken up. And then what was important to us was to find out why the consumer has been so reluctant to embrace alternatives.
We have been, have we not?
We have very much been. I mean, we were buying more fuel-efficient cars in the 80s. The car I drove in high school got much better fuel economy than my car now. And overall, we as a fleet, the U.S. fleet has gotten much less fuel economy than it did then.
Are we Americans unique in how we identify with our automobiles and we make a personal statement sort of by what we drive and how much it weighs?
Well, you know, I mean, all you have to do is watch TV and look at the commercials and look how we're marketed mm-hmm. By these auto manufacturers. I mean, you know, big, fast, you know, going off-road, which, you know, how many people actually take their cars through mountains and over through rivers?
I had a Jeep once, never left the highway.
You know, so when we're constantly fed these images of, you know, power and big and strength and, you know, of course that's, you know, that's cool, especially when you're at 16 and you see these ads, you're like, yeah, I want that.
Right. Are you up for taking some calls?
Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones. John's calling from Richmond Heights on line one. You're on the air with Jeremy Wagner and Scott Roberts. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, thanks very much. A couple of questions. First of all, I was wondering, in contacting groups in each city, what your criteria were. I wonder if you could not have contacted a little bit deeper activists and long-standing groups, for instance, in St. Louis, that have been working on these issues for years, the Gateway Greens and some of the biofuels collectives around town would be an example, and maybe the bike brigade type of issues, you know, those types of groups. And then secondly, kind of wondering, in a sense, what your agenda is in general. Are you pushing for denser cities, bike-friendly, car unfriendly cities, congestion pricing, taxes on gas? Are you trying to get people out of their cars? Are you trying to go to benign fuels, maybe something like electric or biofuels? What's the agenda here?
Thanks, John.
Well, let me address the first question in terms of contacting groups. This entire film and this entire production is completely self-financed and put together by Jeremy and myself. And you know, we don't even have the resources to hire PR firms in each city. So it's really us kind of feeling our way through each city. So, I mean, we don't have a studio behind us. It's just us two. So we, you know, did our best in finding the groups that were happy to participate.
And the groups that responded to us first were the ones that we're working with. And in terms of that second question, as far as an agenda is, Scott and I certainly weren't activists when we started this project. We're just filmmakers and came across what we thought was a really fascinating story and something that became more fascinating as we looked into it. So we didn't come into it with an already a preconceived idea. We were just trying to answer questions as they came up. And we try and present the film that way as well. We're presenting the information as we found it, it's very different than a Michael Moore type film. In fact, Scott and I really don't really appear in the film at all. And our narrator is Peter Gallagher, and the majority of his narration, when you come see the film, tend to be questions rather than statements, asking further questions about the information that's being presented. But I think our summary of this, in terms of what the solutions are, is that we should be getting better fuel economy than we are. We can get better fuel economy than we are. We can be running on alternative fuels. One of the fascinating things that we look at is the fact that that the diesel engine, when Rudolf Diesel created that engine, he presented it at the World's Fair running it on peanut oil. And so it was shocking to us that the diesel engine is actually an alternative fuel engine. And so there's simple ideas like that we came across that really changed our perception and our ideas. And so what we're looking forward to, and this is part of the reason why we have this question and answer at the end of each film, is because there are different alternatives and there are different things that you can be doing in different areas of the country. For instance, we've been in the Midwest for the last 3 weeks, and there's a lot of stations that have ethanol available. Now, corn ethanol certainly isn't the best solution, but it is a short-term alternative that's available, and so it's something to talk about, and it's something that's available for people to start using now. Now, in California, there are only 3 ethanol stations in the entire state, so ethanol really isn't a great short-term, immediate alternative available to people. So, and that's why at our screenings, and that's why we're doing things with stlouisgreen.com and with Clean Cities Coalition of St. Louis, because these are people in your area who can help you find what's available and can help you get involved in making a change in St. Louis. And that's where everything has to start, is on that local level.
Let's go to Courtney, calling from St. Louis. Hi, Courtney. You're on Cityscape.
Hey, how you doing? I just had a quick question in regards to what some of the research was that went into the movie. And I was wondering if you came across anything that dealt with the price increases of oil in general, and where, because we've heard a lot in the media about how the oil companies are all big and bad, and you know, getting these exorbitant amount of profits, but we haven't heard much as far as the market, the global market as a whole. And I was wondering if you came across any research that suggested that the market itself is the blame, and not necessarily these individual oil companies. And I'll take more comments off the air.
Thank you.
Yeah, Courtney, it was important to us to keep this from an economic perspective in a lot of ways. So we do talk to an economist who actually had written a lot of things about the history of Standard Oil and is very familiar with the industry and how that works. And the thing is, you can't point the finger at any one group or one person. This is all of us, and that's really what our film tries to look at. Yes, the oil companies are certainly responsible for their big profits. That's their job.
They're a business. Really.
They're a business. That's their job, is to make big profits, and they're going to do whatever they can to do that. That's their responsibility to their shareholders, and that's not necessarily an evil thing. It's not necessarily a good thing either. It's just business. Business is neither good nor evil. It's just business. Now, it's our job as consumers to determine whether or not we approve or agree with or want to participate in that business and the way that they do business, and that's our choice. But it is a very important point, and something that we look at is that the price that you're paying, that crude oil price and the price at the pump, does not reflect the actual cost to produce, ship, transport, refine, and sell that oil. It's a very complicated issue, but it's something that we try and look at closely in the film.
And it's an issue that people are interested in. We have a lot of people that have things to say. Let's go to Maud, calling from St. Louis. You're on the air with Jeremy Wagoner and Scott Roberts. Go ahead.
gentlemen, welcome to my town.
Thank
Hi. I'm Maud Essen. I'm the founder of the St. Louis Biofuels Club, and we'll have several members at your show tonight, so we'll look forward to meeting you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Great. I just wanted to let you know that, as John from Gateway Greening earlier mentioned, we have a number of groups here in St. Louis working on these issues, so I hope that you'll also meet some of them tonight. Our group is working on educating the public regarding biofuels. Biofuels right now have gone already through a cycle of last year biofuels were good, this year they're bad, and the reality is that they still have the potential to be very effective tools in a hybrid arsenal. I think one of the things, and I hope to learn more about this in the movie tonight, one of the things that we need to realize is that fuel does not have to be one size fits all. It can be highly localized, and biodiesel is a great example of this.
Maud, I'm going to cut you off right there just in the interest of time. I think you've made your point, and we really appreciate that. Gentlemen, you want to say something?
Yeah, we absolutely agree with you, and that's again, part of why we do these question and answers afterwards, is because there are different things happening. There are different crops available that are grown locally, and so what we are interested in, I guess, answering that agenda question, is finding a way to produce our fuels locally.
Let's see if we can take at least one more call. Martin's calling in from Jefferson County. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just want to make a comment, and my comment is that as long as we have to take people from the counties and from the surrounding areas at one given time in the day and flush them into a city to stack them in high-rise buildings in cubicles with computers that they could do at home, we're probably never going to eliminate this energy crisis. It's going to take a change in the basic mentality. And you can lay a lot of fiber optic cable, which doesn't pollute and doesn't use any fuel, and run computers. We can control a drone aircraft on the other side of the world that can do precision bomb strikes. And we can do this through technology. And we could really, if we got rid of rush hour traffic, I don't think we'd have a fuel energy crisis.
Thanks, Martin.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the things in the film that we talk about is, you know, this is definitely not a technological problem. It's a political problem, it's a social problem, and it's an economical problem. So we couldn't agree more.
Well, this certainly is not the end of the discussion, is it? There's going to be a lot more. Let me go over some of the facts. StLouisGreen.com and the St. Louis Regional Clean Cities Program will be benefiting from the appearance of Gas Hole at the High Point Theater. Now, there'll be screenings tonight at 6 and at 8:15 p.m., Saturday at 12:30, 2:45, 5 and 7:15, and Sunday at 3 and 5:30. And there's a premiere party after this evening's showing, right?
That's right. After the 8:15 showing, there's a party.
So if you want more information, you can go to our website, kwmu.org, to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to St. Louis Green's website. Also, you can call the High Point Theater for tickets, and I guess tickets in advance would be recommended, I would think.
I would think so. And you can also see information about our tour and where we've been and the trailer at gasholemovie.com.
Well, we want to thank you both for sharing today, and we hope you enjoy your time in St. Louis. Gas Hole is the name of the film. We've been visiting with the film's director, Jeremy Wagner, and the film's producer, Scott Roberts. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Good meeting you. Next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with the new president and executive director of the St. Louis Symphony, Fred Bronstein. Then Monday on St. Louis on the Air, Don Marsh will talk with George Lakoff about his book, The Political Mind. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs can be streamed, downloaded, or downloaded for podcast at kwmu.org. Also at kwmu.org, you can find our online discussion forum where you can continue today's discussion and chat with other listeners. Cityscape is produced and engineered by Mary Edwards with production assistance from Aaron Dorr and Brad Wood. The executive producer is Mike Schrand. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you next time.